Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. More prospect profiles in the form of Rashad Bateman and Elijah Moore. So Bateman, I started with 2020 tape, and I tune in all these guys without reading anything. I have a general idea of like who's relevant, just because studying just some stats and stuff like that, but I kind of go in with a blank slate stylistically. And Bateman was one that I caught a bad game in 2020 where it was like must have been the worst game of his college career. He dropped everything. Like, it was just terrible. And it was one of those things where he's just like, what is going on? Like, it's drop. And just another drop. I was just like, what is happening with this? And so I watched a ton more tape, and I was just like, I need to make sure, because there's no way with this metric profile that's what's going on with him. And so one of the things that I found was he is drop prone. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think it's that he's got bad hands. In fact, I think he's got good hands. I think he has some concentration issues. I think he tries to transition from catching to running after the catch, where he's a monster. I think he tries to just do that too quickly. And it's just a lack of concentration. It's just a lack of, just attention, right? It's just those things happen. You're trying to do two things at once, and you drop the ball. And I think that's a lot of what it is. I think like when you watch him, he played a ton inside in 2020. And one of the things about him playing, he played about 60% inside in the slot in 2020 compared to about 10 to 15% out inside in 2019. So he's much more of a perimeter receiver. In 2019, he led the country in yards per route run in the, from the outside. So, and that's a sophomore. So that's very good. If there's a couple of things that are concerning to me, 14% drop rate. Again, I'm not going to get over my skis on a drop rate. And you led the country in yards per route run with a 14% drop rate. Like, pick and choose your battles. And that's kind of like, all right, you take the guy that performs really well. And if 40% of his passes are going to be incomplete, and a lot of that's because of drops, like, so be it. Because he can kill you after the catch. And that's one of the things that's really interesting. Like, he's very natural on the run, catching the ball in stride, capable of sort of, going and turning it upfield and getting run after the catch. He's a very dynamic after the catch runner. So that's the thing with him, and kind of in a different way than like Kadarius Toney. Like, he's just super smooth in terms of able to catch and move. So really impressed with that. Thought he was pretty good in terms of a lot of his option routes that showed up in some of the PFF data as well. He comes in a little bit smaller. So he came in at 6'190". I joked that he won the weight loss competition of the spring. So that was, cause he came in weighing, it was like he was going to be 6'1", 215 or something, 6'2", 215, something like that. He was listed at, so he came in a lot smaller and a lot lighter than he was expected. He tested out 36-inch vert, 123 broad. That's 59th and 66th percentile, respectively. 102 speed score, so that's above your median there. So PFF comps him to Keenan Allen, which I think is an interesting comp. I think that's sort of the right style. Again, I don't love I don't love picking out the guy that's one of the best in the league in terms of saying, it's probably not a reasonable expectation in terms of like a median or anything like that. But stylistically, I get it. I think he can be a really, really dynamic player. You kind of hope he gets paired with someone that has, I call it like, there's general accuracy and then there's like precise accuracy. So general accuracy is kind of a guy like Tyrod Taylor. He's not going to make a ton of huge mistakes, but he's not going to necessarily throw the ball. Yeah, he's going to throw the ball to the guy, but he's not going to throw it to the right shoulder, or he's going to kind of throw you off, off shoulder. You want someone that's going to definitely throw you like onto the right shoulder and let him sort of maximize. That would sort of be the look that I would hope to see for Bateman. So, you know, one of the things that he keeps popping up kind of in that back of the first round, early part of the second round. And so, you're hoping that he lands with a good quarterback. As with all of these guys, you're kind of hoping that. But I do think that there's teams in that range that sort of need some help. And I think the Kansas City receiver thing is going to be a big deal. When you look at him and you see he's 34 and grinding the mocks, so that's right on, you know, that's right on the boundary. So you can totally see him going late in the first round. You know, that opens up his comps pretty well in terms of, you know, in terms of the base rates, the hit rate stuff. He's got a 19. He's got a breakout age. You know, that'll put him in the elite echelon there. Which again, that's what we love to see. We want guys with high breakouts going in the first round. And even if it's later in the first round, like, that's fine. Like, it's you know, if he goes a little bit later in the first round, it might even keep him down a shade in terms of, you know, people aren't going to, maybe people will go other ways in terms of really jacking him up. And again, some of the research that I've been doing and finding, I don't think it much matters what the order of these guys is in terms of what they go off the board or anything like that. If you just sort of look inside the first round, it hasn't much mattered. So when you look at his breakout, broke out at 20% at 18 years old, so you love to see that. Broke out 30% at 19 years old, love to see that. He's 80th percentile in terms of the age of his 30% breakout. So again, that's right on the number. You sort of look at the comp set for him in terms of sub 20-year-old, 20% breakout guys, 68% for round one. So that's absolutely what you want. You know, he's a priority target guy when you look at him in round two. And just to give you an idea, when you look at him in round two, that comp set, 42, almost 43% hit rate. When you look at the guys that broke out later in the first round, 27%. So again, you sort of say that's a really interesting situation. Again, he outperforms. His basically round three hit rate is the same as the round two hit rate for the guys that broke out at like 21 years old. So it's a really interesting, you know, set of comps. Again, do we want to pay, you know, if he goes early day two, do we want to pay, you know, mid to late first round prices? No, but that can be a target player in the second round. He's going to be one of those few guys. Him, like Rondale Moore, you know, Elijah Moore, who I'll talk about in a minute, like Tylan Wallace. If those guys go on round two, like, they're interesting. They're officially interesting. Whereas, like, you can sort of eliminate a lot of these guys going later on. You kind of want to limit your board. Like, if you just sort of wanted to go him, Terrace Marshall, you know, Jamar Chase, Bateman, Terrace Marshall, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Tylan Wall, sort of make that a group and sort of just figure out a way to target them, I think that's a pretty savvy strategy. So that's really the deal with him. Grades out really well in Matt Waldman's work as well. So again, what I like to see in terms of my process and when I'm viewing these guys, I want to see a couple of things. I want to see the metrics, and I want to see the breakout age, really like a player, and check. I want to see the PFF guys like the player, check. And I want to see Waldman like the guys, or tape, you know, other tape folks. As well as, I guess the fourth one would be the NFL. Like, the NFL is the last, and that goes a little bit into his breakout stuff too. But I want to see basically all of those things align. When they all align, like, that's a target player. We just have to identify the appropriate price. Again, if he's going to be sort of in that wide receiver 5, 6, 7 range, like, that could be a pretty sweet spot in terms of target guys for this year. Again, if that's going to be, you know, him, Rondale Moore, again, the guys that I mentioned, I think that's a pretty interesting set of guys this year. So that would sort of be my initial take there on him. Elijah Moore is it going to be an interesting one for me. I get it. I get why people like him. Like, he catches the ball really well, and there's some really good hands in this class, and he's one of them. You know, he's more of a slot guy, used in some gadget ways, but he's not just a pure option underneath, you know, gadget type player. He has vertical elements to his game that I think can be exploited at the next level, and maybe see a bigger role. And I don't love projecting that, but I don't love projecting guys to do things that they haven't done before. But just because a guy hasn't done a ton of it doesn't mean he can't do it. And when you actually get a sample of a guy doing it and being capable of doing it, which we see with Elijah Moore on tape, that is something that to me is really interesting and compelling, because if you're given more of an opportunity, that's something I think he can absolutely grow into and do. So, yeah, again, I think he's really explosive. He's tough. There's no doubt about that. He can run after the catch. He's really good with his hands. You know, he set up a pretty couple of vicious double moves that I saw on tape. So that was impressive stuff. But again, a lot of it is gadget stuff. And so when you sort of look at, you know, who's further along in sort of their conceptual stuff, him or Bateman, like, it's clearly Bateman. And so that's one of those things where, you know, with Elijah Moore, if he's going to fall a little bit, like, you can sort of see that, you know, that kind of coming into play. Like, there's definitely a difference that can be there between the two of them, just because Bateman projects a little bit more pro ready and a little bit more diverse. You know, so that's the thing. So Bateman is hovering right around the first round. He's been essentially at or in the first round the entire time. He just recently fell just outside of the first round in terms of you know, where they're going. Elijah Moore has risen pretty significantly from, you know, outside the top 100 or so, way back to up into the like 40s or so. He saw a big jump up, and then it sort of tailed off just a little bit in the recent weeks. So we'll see. Sort of, he's kind of got round two written on him, is essentially where I would sort of look at, where I would project him more likely. I think Bateman, like, I think with suspense you can watch Bateman on night one, and I'm not sure with Elijah Moore you can. PFF likes Elijah Moore probably more than the market does. Ideal combination of speed and quickness for the slot. A threat to get deep. You know, I think that's absolutely true. Just they didn't necessarily do it a ton. Played 38 total snaps versus press all season. So that's a little bit concerning. Height's going to scare off some teams. Again, he's on the smaller side there. Coming in 5'9", 178. So that's, you know, that is a concerning thing to him. You know, can he sort of be that T.Y. Hilton type? We'll see. With, you know, do some slot things but have some vertical elements, right? That'll be something I think we need to watch for. Short shuttle's great. 4 seconds flat, that's outstanding. Three cone, 4.35. 40-yard dash, 4.35. 6.66, three cone drill. So again, those are all outstanding. Vert, he's more quick in the agility stuff than he is explosive in the jumping stuff. So 36-inch vert, that's above average. 120 broad, that's below the median there. So that's kind of where you fall in line with him. When you sort of look at a lot of the stuff, it's, you know, he's dominant in the slot. That's basically where he runs his stuff. But did, you know, despite being fourth in the country in slot catches this past year, he was also seventh in the country in deep yards. So again, you can sort of do both, and he's one of those. He's sixth in missed tackles forced. So again, you sort of get an idea of him. 11 deep catches, that was tied for ninth. And he was tied for fifth with contested catches. So again, all of those things are pretty nice. 73% contested catch rate, that's well above the median. 90.4% PFF grade and against man coverage, well above the median. 2.3% drop, well, you know, much better than the median. Yards per route run crushes. He basically crushes across every stat. It's kind of the story. It's about slot, and it's about size, it's about fit, and it's about converting. Like, this guy can play. So I know that the market's coming around on him. It's funny, the market's coming around on everybody, and it's causing rookie picks to rise. Again, I don't love doing that in a wide receiver heavy class, but I think this gives us optionality. You know, if he's going to be a day two guy, do I love his sort of breakout stuff? No, not per se. You know, he's kind of firmly in the second round, so that's really the question there with him. Like, do I love that? He's in that 42% group. Like, I don't love it, but again, if he's going to be kind of in that, you know, in that later single digits, you know, 8, 9, 10 in drafts, like, I think that could be a potential target, especially if we're moving off of. It's a lot easier to do that when you're moving off of someone, you know, in a trade down situation, right? You can sort of justify that a little bit more when you're trading down, sort of moving down, accumulating more assets. Say, you know, here's a profile I generally like. The question is, I wonder what the upside is in terms of targets, in terms of usage, in terms of all that. Like, that would be the big concern that I would have with him, is just how does he translate to a big volume role in the NFL? So that's really the ultimate concern that I have. Wide receiver 7 at DLF's, according to DLF's ADP, it's right around the 1-2 turn. So he's at 14.6 in start 1. There's only one quarterback above him. So that, you know, if you put 4 or 5 quarterbacks above him, that's firmly in the second round. We can start talking there. Bateman, I didn't mention his earlier. He was 6.4, and that was wide receiver 2 in the class. Again, we'll see if he's a later first round. That should probably adjust a little bit more. And I think Terrace Marshall is going to go up, for example. So, you know, I think that'll have to be something that we definitely watch and keep our eyes on. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.